Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome to Allah Barakatuh. This is Adam B.I., and I'm here with my wife, Bina, and I'm going to tell her to come on live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Sister Bina. Yeah, you want to explain to everybody what's going on? Because I'm sure they were looking forward to seeing you, Sister Munira.
So this week, Brother Adam and I have been asked to fill in for Sister Munira, who's traveling this week, and she wanted the show to continue, so she just asked if we would fill in for her, and I'm honored to be a guest host along with you. Since I love this program so much. So, inshallah, Sister Munira will be back next week, as far as we know, to host the show again. So, inshallah, you'll be here with us.
Yeah, and please bear with us, but hopefully, inshallah, it'll be informative and it'll be something you can enjoy and participate in. So, I don't want you to think that we're going to just bore you to death. That's not our intentions. Inshallah, we will make this an informative and enjoyable program. And we encourage you to, if you have any comments or questions, please, you know, to press 1 to get in the queue. And we'll bring you on board live. With that being said, Benny, you want to give them a recap of what the show was about last week?
Yes. Can we start off with the opening it up with the Fatiha, please?
Yes, okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim. Guy will mark to be alayhim ul adalin. Ameen.
With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the guardian cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, master of the day of judgment and all systems of knowledge. Thee alone do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. Okay. So with I'll do a recap of last week's show. For the last 3 weeks or so, I believe we've been going over a book by our dear beloved sister, Dr. P. Anissa Nadir, and the name of her book is Before the Nikah, Proven Principles to Help Single Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. Just a little bit about her, and then we'll go on. Dr. Anissa Nadir is an award-winning pioneer in mental health and American and the American Muslim community. As a social worker for 4 decades and trailblazing leader in the healthy Muslim marriage movement, Dr. Nadir continues her commitment to helping improve the quality of life of the individuals, families, and communities she serves. She has had a fulfilling career implementing programs that tackle issues before they become insurmountable problems. For over 20 years as a university professor, while she educated and mentored blossoming social work professionals, Dr. Nadir has taught Muslim singles the principles and skills she shares in this book, Before the Nikah. So, last week, we were covering chapters 5 and 6 of her book. Chapter 5 is entitled, one second, Keys to a Healthy Marriage. And in that chapter, you had the information, she spoke about what the best example was, and she mentioned, Dr. Nadir, she uses and she cites the best example as our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and she mentioned several of his wives as well, peace and blessings upon them. She mentioned how our prophet was the best example, and there are a couple of things stand out for me in that is that when she spoke about, when the author spoke about Sister Mother Khadija, peace and blessings be upon her, she mentioned that she used an important vetting process, and that was in terms of finding her husband. she used the process of observation of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him's character. She used, she observed his character around other people. She saw that he had integrity and behavior, and in his behavior, in her business that she employed him to run, and as well as listening to what other people had to say about him. She utilized her support system in that way to find out about the character of her future husband, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The author also talked about what are the keys to a healthy marriage. And she mentions Allah outlines the core keys to a healthy marriage in Surah Rum, Surah 30, Ayat 21. He tells us that they include having love for one another, being compassionate with one another, and maintaining peace and tranquility between each other. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat 187, Allah says, as spouses, we are garments for each other. These verses tell us that a healthy marriage in Islam is built on a foundation of love of God and a desire to please and serve him. So this is one other thing she mentioned in her chapter, Dr. Anissa mentioned, was that we should be sure to vet for a person who has taqwa and is committed to serving Allah. And at the end of that chapter, it mentioned those two ayats from the Quran, and it gave reference to three different things that we could look at that would be in support of a healthy marriage. And that was the Blessed Prophet and his wives in the Muslim Marriage Guide by Rukaya Waris Maqsood. The second one was Biographies of the Women Companions of the Holy Prophet by Maulana Saeed Ansari Nadvi. And the Quranic Model in Before You Tie the Knot by Salma Abu Ghidieri and Muhammad Majid. So if you can get her book, well, inshallah, you get her book, you'll be able to have these references and other references that she speaks of in terms of having a healthy marriage. Do you remember anything else from that chapter, Adam, that you wanted to add? Well, we'll go on into chapter six. Chapter six of our key skills, and what we're doing is doing a recap from last week. So chapter six was entitled Key Skills, Communication. So communication being one of the biggest things that is necessary in a marriage. I guess we could really spend the whole show on that because there's so much to talk about communication. Brother Adam, I hear you chimed in. Did you have anything that you wanted to mention on
chapter five? No, I put it on mute. I'm sorry for that. No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't want to start saying anything. But we do have a caller that has their hands up. I don't know if you wanted to bring them on. Okay, let's bring them on.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to 727-408.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. This is after I listen to everything that you said, right? This the little poem I wrote. Don't have a lot to be given, but I just like to just say the poem anyway. This is indeed a serious test. God consciousness. Let's do our best. Brothers and sisters, setting home alone. Marriage life can make them strong. Community Life Must Be Reborn. They both have a sales song. Congregational Prayer. Maybe they will meet. It would be better than finding a potential spouse on the street. Allah would help them get what they need. They don't need a miracle. Good advice help them to think more rational. Common sense is a good friend. They can make a house a home. Finding the goddess in the Quran, they can't go wrong. The prophet lifestyle wasn't wild or foul. Those who know the process, help them to do their best. Allah will help them do the rest. This is also the believer's test. Children can be born from this union. Parents can help them deal with deception and confusion. This kind of world is nothing but an illusion. Keeping it real, this is a let's make a deal. Write a contract. Our lives or souls are under attack. Thank you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, brother.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, that was very insightful. Okay, so thank you very much, Brother Bilal. So we're going to go to a recap of Chapter 6 now, and that one was communication. In that, our author speaks about the things that make communication easier and clearer. She says that it includes caring for one another, respect and compassion, good listening skills, like being respectful and attentive and open to the other person, and attuned to each other's feelings. She also says being rested and limiting distractions also facilitate good communication. So, yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Nobody really can communicate or wants to communicate when they're tired. She also says we communicate with facial expressions, our body language, gestures, tone of voice, and speech patterns. Some obstacles to having good communications are when you're tired, when you're angry, when you're hungry. Those are really not the best times to communicate because when you're feeling angry, it's difficult to have a productive conversation. You could be upset about something else, and that brings it, you can bring that into whatever conversation you're having. You know, it's like sometimes people can't just leave the day behind. It's on their minds, it's running all through their heads. They're wishing they did this and they did that, but maybe they didn't get a chance to do these things, and it's just running them, and it's just running them all the way home. And then when they get home, they still have that on their mind about how they're going to fix that the next day. And sometimes when somebody else wants to have a conversation, that'll be so far away from that, then like, what are we having for dinner, or what happened during the day with that person? It might be an interruption in the mind of the person who's bringing that work home. So that really wouldn't be a good time to communicate. But we do that unconsciously. And sometimes, you know, just a word to the right can bring a person back to focus on what's right there in front of them, inshallah. Lastly, she mentioned, too, about, because it spoke about it in the chapter about gaslighting, and that was like something, I mean, we've been hearing lately, and she found a definition for gaslighting. And I don't have that specific one, but I found one also. And what really surprised me is that this definition was put out in 2018, and that was 5 years ago. And I never heard it back 5 years ago, but I was wondering, why is it so popular now? And I know you mentioned, because Adam, when you called about, you know, people putting that out in the atmosphere and in the political arenas, but I'm wondering, did it take 5 years for it to get to be real popular? Were they putting it out and they planted that seed back then, or what? Because I just started hearing about it, like, really just months ago. I didn't understand what that was.
Let me, I thought about it since last week. And gaslighting is nothing new. It's a form of psychological manipulation. And people have been psychologically manipulated since Adam. So it's nothing new. The term is new.
Okay.
But the tactics is old as dirt. All right? So in this environment we're in now, where all the things that have been described as bad behavior are becoming popular, whether it's through political arena or whatever. Everything you can think of as bad behavior now, those things are being used, and they come up with new terms they come up with. But I'm reading explanation of gaslighting right now. And when I read it, you can see there's nothing new. It's a form of psychological manipulation in which the abuser attempts to sow self-doubt and confusion in the minds of the victim. That sounds familiar to you? Right?
Yes.
It's part of abuse.
Okay,
it's part
so
of abuse.
I'm just wondering Well, they mentioned that in this chapter, so I'm thinking, are we talking about, or is she, you think she's mentioning, she's talking about one partner gaslighting the other partner? And if so, what does that look like?
It happens in marriage. It happens in marriage when you have an abusive situation. I can remember seeing a lot of movies where one character gaslights his wife, and have her thinking she's crazy, or that she is sowing self doubt in her, and make her have low self esteem. You know, we've seen it before.
Feel insecure.
But now it feel insecure, exactly, and so that's. As Sister Mary said last week, that's an abusive situation. Abusive situation. And it happens all the time. It's not new. It's nothing new. Now, another form of gaslighting is what we went through as African Americans here. Psychological manipulation. As us think that we're less than, or we're not adequate as a people. So it happens that way too. But I think in the book it's talking about on an individual level, right?
Yeah.
Anybody in the audience have examples of that, or can amen to that, or understand that? Just press one to get in the queue. We'll be on and let you talk about experiences you've had or seen where people were being gaslit. I guess it's gaslit or whatever.
Right. So going on with the recap of chapter 6, the author mentioned that there are 3 to 4 types of communication styles, according to Alvernia University. They identify 4 types: passive-aggressive, and assertive. Okay. Then it goes on to mention 2 different. It gives her book, Dr. Anissa's book, mentions 2 examples of different couples and talks about their communication styles, and in it you could kind of listen and see, based on just what you know in terms of communicating, if those 2 are a good fit or not. Okay. And lastly, Dr. Anissa mentions respect for one another is a critical aspect of communication, and it's difficult to communicate with someone you don't respect. She says, as Muslims, you will want to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the center of your relationship and your communication. Our conversations with each other should begin with the name of Allah, with a brief dua, and understand, with a brief dua in which you ask for mutual appreciation, understanding, discernment, and kindness. When we have Allah at the center of our relationship and our communication, we are reminded to be thoughtful and kind. We remember that we are brothers and sisters in humanity and in faith, and that we don't want to harm each other physically or emotionally. And that ended actually chapter 6. But at the end of Dr. Anisa's chapter 6, she has what's called take action, something that you can do to put those skills into practice or to help you with your communication style, wherever that might be on the spectrum. And in that, she asks to take action. And this question is how does this mouse make you feel? And here's the scenario. She has a picture of a mouse in the book, and then she asks the question underneath. Imagine you're in your living room while watching a movie. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a mouse is running around in the room. How do you feel? Not what do you think, but how do you feel? And then she gives you an opportunity to list your feelings. Now, Brother Adam and I, we took this test. He didn't know what he was taking when he took it, but we took this test. Well, not a test, but just action, just something for us to do, you know, for couples to do together, just to test where the feelings are. I wanted to know what his feelings were. I didn't really know what mine were, so I asked him first to tell me how he feels about it. It was a little awkward at the beginning, but I think it was really a good exercise because, I mean, it gets you talking, and that's the whole point. You want to be able to communicate. So.
And let me say, she didn't show me the picture of the mouse on the page, so that's why I didn't have a reaction. She, yeah.
Well, you want to tell them how you felt? Now that you've seen
no,
the mouse,
no, I mean,
you
now
want
I'm
to
looking
tell
at
them
the mouse. No, so, hey, in the projects, you know. So we saw, if I saw a mouse, my first thought was, he's out of care. He's out of his environment. He got to go. That was my first thought. Mm-hmm. You know, then she
but
tried to save
not
the
what
rat.
You think. But not what you think, though. It's like, how do you feel? That's what she's asking.
I understand. And that's why I felt he got to go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I felt so.
Y'all see,
my answer was,
I
was
that
really
scared.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
that's okay. It's okay. But I would be if I saw a mouse, okay? That's how I would feel. So scared, that's a feeling word or whatever. I would be scared, first of all. And even though now the mouse is really small, I'd be scared. But now that you've listed how you feel, it asks you to list why you feel the way you do. And where do those feelings about the mouse come from? And why do you feel the way you do about the mouse in your room? So that's the exercise that she asked us to do. And she asked to check in with friends or family nearby and ask how they feel knowing that a mouse is running around the room. And so she asked, so why is this important? And she says, this is important because it's all about how our experiences and messages about those impacted our perspective and our feelings. How do these experiences lead to what we believe in, feel, and how we communicate? Another piece of the communication process is our ability to own our feelings and utilize the language of our feelings so that we can express how we truly feel. Often we usually feel feelings. We use the few feelings, words we are used to without realizing that the feelings vocabulary is vast and allows us to expand and deepen our emotions. Happy, mad, glad, sad, and angry are just a few words in the feelings vocabulary, but there are many more. I was trying to think of some other ones,
Well, before you go, we need to play this PSA. Everybody just bear with us. We'll return after this message.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Okay, we're back, and you're listening to, hello?
Yes.
We're listening to All About Courtship and Marriage, hosted normally by Sister Manira Hamil.
But this week being hosted by
Adam, Bina Bia and her husband, Adam Bia.
That was nice you put me first. That was nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were, before the break, we were talking about the take action portion of Dr. Pia Nisa Nadir's book, Before the Nikah, Proven Principles to Help Single Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. Talking about some feeling words, you know, other than the standard feeling words. And it's really important to have a vocabulary that's broad, that where you can, you know, be able to express different things, and it'll help you grow, I think, to be able to communicate with everyone, and especially if you know what your feelings are and you investigate what that is, that would be very helpful in expressing yourself in the future. And in terms of finding a spouse, you want to be able to let them know what it is that you're looking for, how you feel about certain things, and maybe even give them cause to look up in the dictionary about some things. I mean, I know I've had to, in the course of our marriage, I've had to look up a lot. But then not only in communication, but even in reading the Quran as well. So I think, you know, it's a good thing to be able to learn new words, to be able to express yourself. What do you think, Brother Adam?
Well, communication is definitely important. And believe me, I find that out every day. That I might be talking with Bina. I'm thinking about one thing, and she's thinking about another thing, and then we go off on tangents because we're not on the same page. And then we work on it until we understand where we are, and then we are compatible. Then it's understood. So communication is definitely very, very, very important. And I was thinking one thing they were saying is, can you imagine someone marries somebody from another culture and speaks a different language? And then have to try to settle the language barrier, as they call it. So.
Yes. It's hard enough to understand each other when you're speaking the same language, because if you ask a group of people in a room, you say something to a group of people, and then you go back and ask them all, you know, what did you hear from that? You hear so many different things. So, yeah. So it's always good to be able to if you could, you know, when you're talking with your spouse or your soon-to-be spouse, to maybe ask them, you know, could you tell me back what you heard? And inshallah, that person will have the patience and the empathy to be able to be patient to say, okay, what it is that they're feeling. Because that's very important when it comes to relationships, is being patient and having empathy and putting yourself in the other person's shoes and walking their walk and hoping and, you know, walking their walk and hoping that they can treat you the way you want to be treated, or you can treat them the way you want to be treated. I think that's what I'm trying to say. If you treat them the way you want to be treated, then, yeah, you get a much better reaction, situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the take action portion, it goes pretty in-depth in this particular chapter. So it has a couple of activities that it wants, that she suggests to help a person to be able to express their feelings. And she mentions some I statements that recognize that I statements demonstrate recognition and ownership for our own feelings while clearly sharing our concern. And she asks ones to fill in the phrase. And the phrase is, I feel, and then there's a blank, when I blank because. And I feel, and then you say what you feel, when I, and then you say at what point, when and where, whatever, and then because, and then you add the words there. So that was a little bit of a challenge for Brother Adam and I also. But it took a few minutes to think about some situations that maybe happened Yeah, you have to think about it and be able to be able to put words to it. So that's like a good, maybe even a good thing that you can play when you get together as couples, or you get together as couples with single people being involved also, who might be looking to get married, or, you know, you be the couple that's hosting two single people that you're trying to introduce. And playing these types of games. These are healthy games that you can play. So she has these scenarios in her take action feelings vocabulary section. So you want to get her book. Do you have someone in the queue?
Yeah, we do have someone in the queue.
Okay.
Let's go to the phone lines. Eric, 914-434.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. I'm Adam and Sister Dina. This is Muhammad Sharif. Yeah, my reason for calling in, when you think about what you feel about this, a feeling. In a couple of seconds, then you said think. Now, that's what's okay. Because that's a thin line, very thin line between the feeling and thinking. You know, you hear individuals say from time to time that, well, I feel like this. But what the thinking comes in, like I said, that thin line between feeling and thinking.
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of times people say I feel when they're really meaning that I think, you know. So I do understand. I hear that quite a bit also.
No, we're talking.
It's thinking.
I know. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah, I just wanted to say feeling is not – seem to be minus thinking. Your feeling with your,
say that again?
Your hands.
I'm sorry.
Your feeling with your hands or your feet or whatever it is, but I haven't gone to the dictionary to find what the difference between the two, but feeling seems to be minus of thinking. You said that's correct.
Well, you can have feelings based on what you, or your heart. You don't necessarily have to think. You know, Allah bless us with our heart and our intellect, and I think you can probably use your heart. It can tell you. And he blessed us with emotions. So it's okay to have emotions and to feel a certain way. Allah blessed us with that. I mean, but we're you know, just kind of learning how to do it in a healthy way. And this, I think this is the thing that she's trying to do, the author, is trying to get us to look at things intelligently so that we could, you know, continue this process, because it can't just be about how you feel. You know, I mean, babies feel things. Babies feel a certain way. But as time goes on, they learn to communicate. And as they learn to communicate, their feelings are not hurt as much or, you know, as when they weren't able to communicate how they felt. So I think she's just kind of offering some ways in order to get to identify how you feel and be able to express that. I don't know. I could be wrong, Brother Muhammad, but that's just where I am. I mean, I'm taking this walk with you too.
Okay, shall move on to the next point. Thank you,
okay.
For
Muhammad, I was just going to say that, you know, in the first we were taught to think five times before you act. You remember that?
Correct. I remember that, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And you may
you
be
act.
Correct. That can
you
take,
might
be right. You may be right.
You might exercise some stinking thinking, and you won't come up with the right answer. But we were taught that. So there seems to be a difference between the thought process and your action. And if you don't control, if you don't have any kind of control, people can get you to react to something without thinking about it, and it puts them at an advantage, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, some people feel like that. I'm not saying that a reaction is bad at all, but that just came to my mind when I thought about. I just want to feel about it. You know. But anyway, this is we're talking about courtship and marriage and communication. And I think it would help one party to know that the other party is like that, so they would be more considerate in whatever they say. It makes sense?
Oh, yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, yes.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
So. I am not an expert at this.
Yeah, one other thing I want to say on this is that I think the last thing you spoke about was marrying someone from a different culture. And I was thinking, could that be possible, marrying someone, say, from a different location? Say maybe one person is from the South, they've been brought up the same way, and now you meet and marry someone from North. Say you're in Florida, you marry someone from Michigan. It's not too different. It's like could be like two different cultures there too. So that like someone that's from another tradition or culture, because the South and the North, it's a big difference, like foreigners in a sense, you know.
Mhm. And that's a good point. That's a good point. And there is a difference in North and South. I mean, I think in her instance, she was talking about, well, you can be on the same block. And if your family environment is different from someone else's family environment, then you would need to know that, you know. But to come with, you know, between the North and South, there's differences. Can you imagine one country and another country? All right.
Mm-hmm.
But and I haven't gone over to the next chapter ever been.
No, we're still in communication. We still have a little bit more to go before we get there.
Oh, okay. Let me stop there.
Brother Muhammad, did that answer your question?
Yeah, but partly. Well, I'm saying partly, I was just saying, I guess some people say, I don't mean this to be a negative, but saying people from the South, they walk slower, they move slower, they talk slower, but that's not a negative, that's just the way the environment is. And so you're from the North, you move fast, you talk faster, and things like this. So you have to adjust each other. You know, that's what I'm saying, from a different location or a different section of the country. And this is a fact, you know, because I know the first time first time visiting, coming from the South to New York. This was summer. One of my parents brought me, you know, and when I got to New York in Harlem, I mean, it was just, I was just like I played people that laugh at me, the way I talk and things like that. And now, I adjust. I was on here for a summer, and I went back. Then all my friends, I grew up and everything. And so he's talking proper. And he's talking proper, all that. you change your environment in such a quick, short period of time, you know. But once I was talking too slow or moving too slow and then come back home, they say you're changed, you're talking, you're different, you think you're better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did y'all ever experience that?
We understand it totally, because I'm from the North and Brother Adams from the South. So yeah, we do. We do that. We have different styles, but Allah blessed us to be able to mesh the best of the North and the best of the South, I think, together, and have us work together. So, and I think some of his things rubbed off on me, and I do believe some of the things that I brought from the North rubbed off on him. And it just kind of made for a real nice little mixture. So,
What was that, Al? You hear that accent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I do. I guess I do hear it.
That comes with being down here in the South for 10 years, okay? If there is one. If there is one. But, yeah, there's a nice little mix. So, yeah. It goes back to communication.
All right.
Still goes back to communication.
I'm sorry.
But I'd like to say congratulations to you and your mate, Adam, your wife, and Ben, your husband. Y'all made an excellent adjustment. I think you didn't say that yet, but I think y'all been married about 11 years, and I think it's turned out well, great.
Alhamdulillah. Allah knows best. Allah knew better than we. And that's who we put our trust in. So alhamdulillah. Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
And we pray that your union is going just as strong. How many years is it for you now, Brother Muhammad?
We probably 3 years, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Any suggestions help this newlywed less than 3 years? You have any advice for us?
Yeah, keep listening to the show.
Okay.
Keep listening to this show. Yes, sir.
All right.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you very much, brother.
You're welcome.
Okay. So... if we go, so there were those two exercises in the back for the feelings vocabulary. And as we go further in the reading, past the exercises, our author reminds us to, she says, it's vital that you place yourself in an environment that facilitates good communication rather than presents obstacles to communication. It'll be important to assess your communication style as it compares to your prospective spouse. A premarital counselor or coach will be helpful in determining whether your communication styles are compatible or have areas of conflict or disconnect. They can also help you develop and strengthen your communication skills with each other or help you determine that perhaps your styles are not compatible. Because communication is such an important aspect of a relationship, it will be important to have a communication style that is complementary and compatible. If not, then perhaps your prospect is not going to be a good fit, and you may want to continue your matrimonial search. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, especially if they think they found somebody that they really like. But sometimes, you know, if you, it's almost like seeing a red flag. If you see something, you can't just overlook it and think that it's going to go away. In a marriage, if you get married after you've seen a red flag, it's only going to get more magnified. I promise you, it's not going to go away. So it's good to have a wali or actually have a counselor, premarital counselor, because sometimes a wali will go and speak for you and say, I'll ask all the right questions. But at the same time, you still might have questions in terms of how to work through certain things. Because, when you speak about marriage, that's a lifelong situation. And it's not something that you can just have a conversation, as Sister Manira says, maybe after a couple of sessions. It's like you go to college. When you get ready to go, let's say when you go to school, you go to this high school for 4 years. You don't get it all in 6 months. You've got to go 4 years before you graduate. And then actually you go another 4 years when you go to college. And that's just for basic college to say, oh, I graduated from college. So I think all of that is like is an example that, you know, for the things that you really need to hold on or really get a grasp of, it takes time. You know, you got to do the take the slow road to get to where you're going, so you can get the things that you need, and not be so quick to just jump into it. Although it seems like the pickings might be slim, Allah knows best. And if you see a red flag, please, you know, even ask somebody else about it. You know, if you say, well, you can say, well, I see this person does this, that, or the other, and I found that kind of odd. What do you think? Or you don't even have to tell them what your opinion is. You can ask them, just if somebody did this, that, or thus, or this, that, or thus, does that seem okay to you, or well, what do you think about that? It's always good to consult another head. Always good to consult someone else. Someone that you trust will tell you the truth. What do you think about that, Brother Adam?
Oh, definitely. It's always good to get more information. And I think that's what the purpose of the book is, and getting all the information you need to make the best decision. And again, we talk about emotions versus thought. Nothing wrong with leading with emotions, but at some point in time, a thoughtful investigation has to take place also.
Okay.
At some point in time. All right, we got another hand going up. Someone else wants to chime in, and we'll do this and play a PSA after the caller. Error code 727-408, 727-408.
Assalamu alaikum. I would like to say a blessed Eid to everybody tomorrow. Praise be to Allah. You know, something that I learned, brother and sister, your wife, is that you can stop. In a conversation, you're going back and forth with each other over something, and you know you can stop, but you go on because it'd be that something deep, that ego just want to keep on going. So when you can stop, sometimes it's best that you just do stop and let it blow over. Then at a better time, you can just inject something about that issue, though. But, you know, when the boys tell you to stop, they don't stop. You don't have to keep on. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro. All right. We're at the top of the hour, so let's play this PSA, and we'll be right back after the PSA.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right. Now we... back. You want to,
we can wrap
chapter
up
seven.
Chapter six. Okay, there's just one more thing, and I think this is really, really important, and it's about our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, to wrap up chapter six. It says, communication style of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. As we discussed earlier, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, provides examples for us in life, marriage, our various relations, communications, and so much more. In the Sirah, there are examples of how the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, demonstrated good communication skills. I'm going to stop here with Sirah. That's the life of the prophet, Brother Al. The Sirah?
Yeah.
You're on mute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. He listened attentively to those who spoke in his presence. He, peace and blessings be upon him, would turn his whole body toward the person that he was listening to. So he was not distracted and was able to clearly understand what they were conveying to him. He, peace and blessings be upon him, wasn't looking at something or thinking about other things. He was focused on his conversation. He, peace and blessings be upon him, was facing the person and listening to what they had to say. On one occasion, a woman who experienced mental illness wanted to talk with the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. He, peace and blessings be upon him, let her know that he would talk with her and showed her respect that was uncommon for women to expect during that time. He did not stigmatize her because she had mental illness, and even though she wasn't a leader or an elite member of the community, he listened to her respectfully. He made her feel important, and he demonstrated care and concern. And there was a blind man in Surah Abasa 80, chapter 80, verses 8 through 10. The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was focused on the influential community leaders as he was trying to get them to come to Islam. In Surah Abasa, Allah revealed the importance of not neglecting or paying attention to the little people to impress the leaders. His example reminds us of the importance of giving your full attention no matter what the status of the person, demonstrating respect and empathy and not being arrogant or neglectful of those with whom you are communicating. These behaviors are important in all our relationships, but most especially our spousal and family relationships. And that's the end of chapter 6. Alhamdulillah. I love that type of attention because there's so many, so there are times that I even find myself when someone's talking, they say something and it triggers a thought and it just kind of has my mind go off someplace else, and you can see I got a blank stare at that person. That person can move, but I'm still looking in that same direction because my mind is going someplace else. And that can happen so quickly, you know, that you don't even realize that, you know, you're going somewhere else. The person's still talking, so you're missing all the other stuff because your mind's gone someplace else. So, that's just how easily distracted we are. And these phones, I know I get irritated sometimes if I'm talking and Brother Adam's looking down at his phone while I'm talking. But I'll mention it and he'll give me his attention then. But I mean, we have to say it. It's like, you know, you got to say it even at the time. Don't let something fester. You got to say, well, excuse me. Can you look over here?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm talking.
Oh, I thought you were talking now. I'm trying to figure out how you knew I was looking at my phone. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so he was just being funny. Okay, so that was chapter 6. Chapter 7, and I think we can finish up with chapter 7 this week. So I'll start it. Unless you had any other comments that you wanted to make about communication.
No, ma'am.
Okay. From chapter 7, expectations and compatibility. Knowing what we expect and recognizing the importance of conveying our expectations before we get married is a key before the NECA principle. The ability to identify and express our expectations is critical, and as we determine how compatible we are with our potential spouse. Most of us have expectations that we don't express. We don't talk about what we expect. We almost expect our significant other or spouse to guess or to know what we expect without having discussed it. We make assumptions that they are just like us. None of us are mind readers. The habit of not expressing our expectations or assuming that our spouse knows what we expect causes so much avoidable conflict. Everyone grew up differently in a different family. Two siblings from the same family may have different experiences. For example, two siblings from the same large family have different expectations. One says, I love large families, and I want one too. The other says, large families are too much drama. If I have a family, I only want one child. It is important that in the process of getting to know one another, we talk about what we expect, what we hope for, and what we want in our future marriage. Areas we want to discuss in the process of getting to know each other include children, work, education, residence, money, health and wellness, and in-laws. We want to talk about our expectations regarding children. Do we want our own biological children, or do we want to adopt or foster? Some of us are not physically able to have our own biological children, and some of us have decided that we can better help society by being an adoptive or foster parent. In any case, how many children do you want in life? Whatever it is you want or expect, it is important to convey it to your prospective spouse. Money is another big topic to cover. More will be discussed in a later chapter. It may not be covered in a first meeting, but certainly along the way, you will want to discuss your views regarding money, how you handle money, and your perspective of taking or paying interest will be important. Because of how we have been raised, we have different perspectives on money. Some of us have a strong focus on savings. Some of us don't save at all and don't care to save. Some of us are frugal. Others are miserly, like Mr. Scrooge in the Charles Dickens classic. Our money mindset is related to how we were raised and how our families treated or viewed money. The Bible verse, 1 Timothy 6, colon 10, I think that's 1 Timothy 6, chapter 10, verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, has impacted many people's mindset, even though they are Muslim. Others might see money in the hands of good people as the root of good deeds. Money is a way to give charity and support good causes. But in any case, whatever your views are, there needs to be a conversation about money. Financial concerns have caused many marital problems. How we spend money and how we save money causes problems when we don't talk about it. Whether a couple should have one joint bank account for the household and then each have their own personal accounts is an issue for discussion. People have different ways of handling money. Also, be sure to discuss each other's perspective about a Muslim woman's money and property. Is there an expectation for the traditional view? Is the expectation that whatever she has or earns is hers to do with as she pleases? Or is the view that she is expected to contribute to the household 50-50? Or is the expectation that no matter how much the wife makes, nothing of hers will be used for the family housing, or standard of living? Will the husband's income be the only source, even if it puts the family's standard of living below what she is used to? Is there an understanding that even if he is the sole earner, the money is theirs, not just his, to give as he pleases? Will either parent's willingness to help with finances be accepted while the husband is in school or his career is getting started? It's important that you have a conversation before the nikah ceremony about what you expect and how money decisions will be made. Do not try to figure this out after you are married. If you cannot discuss this matter before marriage, who knows how it will be handled after the marriage. Another area to discuss before marriage is work and education. Who will work? Who will go to school? These are all topics that are important to talk about prior to marriage. Will both of you work outside the home? Will the wife work outside the home until she has children? Will she work part-time as the children come so she can keep her skills from her education or feel she is fulfilled? Will the husband have a business that gives him flexibility so he can work from home? Will the wife work outside the home? Will they both be at home to trade off caring for the children? Is she going to work while he raises the children? In today's gig economy, it is highly possible for both spouses must be able to work at home, work from home. As I write this book, we are in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Many couples are both working from home if they still have their job. My husband and I are both working from home. Thank God we have the ability for both of us to do this. He has his office and I have mine. He has his equipment from work here at the house and I have my own laptop that I'm working from. We don't have any young children, but we still have family responsibilities. And we really appreciate the flexibility so that we can attend to some of those family responsibilities. For families with young children at this time, during the coronavirus pandemic, school-aged children are also at home, and it's an adjustment for so many people. Whatever the case is, whether working from home is your preference or working outside the home, whether being an employee or an entrepreneur is your preference, it's a simple yet important conversation to have before you get married. It is an important conversation to have to avoid potential conflict or unexpressed expectations that lead to potential conflict. Education is also important to discuss. What are your goals? If you don't have a successful business or investments, your educational decisions will impact how much you can afford once you get married. Do you have a scholarship or student loan that needs to be repaid? Will you be responsible for your debt? Or will your spouse or parents help to pay it? These are topics to discuss before you get married. Time and time again, I meet people who have conflicts about issues that could have been addressed and resolved before the nikah and during the courtship. They thought they had so much in common, but there were these issues that seemed so small, but turned out to be much bigger than they thought. An honest, open, transparent conversation may have prevented the conflict they are currently experiencing. For many, sex and intimacy is a challenging topic to discuss, but nonetheless an important one. Many couples are having difficulty expressing needs and wants in this area. Many married couples are living more like roommates than loving spouses. Most couples have not had sex education before marriage. Pornography and infidelity are growing concerns. This is a topic that has to be discussed. But what do we discuss? Is the best time? And how do we get to our important questions? One way to get the conversation, to get to the conversation, may be to start with a question directed toward the parents and whether they demonstrated affection. Was your parents' relationship romantic when you were growing up? Did they share a bedroom, a bed? Were they comfortable with public displays of affection? Did you see them hug, hold hands, kiss? Do you consider yourself romantic? Did you know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was very romantic, loving, and patient in the way he treated his wives? Good communication skills and getting to know each other's love language are keys needed to have your conversations regarding sex and intimacy. Expectations are important to discuss. Someone married must have known references. This is an important part of married life, so you want to make as informed a decision as possible. Attitudes around affection may really cause conflicts. One person may feel unloved or neglected or disrespected, depending on how they demonstrate affection. Where will you live? Will you live in a house or apartment, by yourselves or with your parents? Your residents and your in-laws are important topics to discuss. Are you going to be settled in one city, or are you going to move around? I know for me as a child, the author says, I moved around a lot. So I'm not much for moving around. I'm thankful my husband and I tended to be more settled. We have had the ability to be stable in terms of where we live. We made a big move across the country 40 years ago, lived in the same city for all these years, and the same home for the past 20. However, not everyone likes to stay put. Some people are modern nomads and like to go where opportunity takes them. Having a conversation about where you want to live and whether you want to move around for work or to explore different parts of the country and the world is one question you don't want to skip. Are you the kind of person who would prefer to be settled in one place? Is an important question. Do you see yourself living near your family or your prospective spouse's family or neither family? Do you see a place where you live close enough to the family that you can get to each other fairly quickly? Do you see yourself starting out in an apartment? Do you see continuing life in an apartment throughout your entire married life or working towards getting a house? If you get a house, how do you pay for it? Do you plan to take out a conventional mortgage, or are you looking for an Islamic mortgage so that you are not paying quote-unquote interest? Or do you think it's better to rent? Are you going to live with in-laws, or are in-laws going to live with you? Do you see benefit in having your parents live with you so they can help with the children? Or will you live with your parents so you can save money or help your parents as they age? These are the kinds of questions that would be important to discuss before you get married. I just wanted to take a quick break right here and ask Brother Adam, is there anything that you would like to talk about that I've already read, or should I just continue to read?
Well, I would continue on if you want to do that next section, to the end of that section you're on right now, that we can discuss
okay.
what you read so far.
Okay, great. In-law relationships in the immigrant Muslim community are often quite challenging and have placed a considerable strain on many marriages. Again, most couples did not have an open, honest discussion about their relationship with their in-laws before they married. A question about your perspective on in-laws can provide insight. Do you see in-laws as your family? Are in-laws viewed as extended family support? Does your family see an in-law as taking their son or daughter away, or are they giving you their daughter? It is important to get a sense of the relationship you're going to have with your in-laws and your parents. It is a must know if you will be able to respect each other and your parents. It is also important to know if they are interfering in your relationship in a way that is not beneficial, and how will you best handle it in a caring and respectful way. I, meaning the author, had to learn to be a mother-in-law and how to be supportive. It's something that you have to learn if you've never done it before. Both parties need to learn their boundaries. I'm very grateful that my daughter-in-law and I have good conversations about our common profession. She's smart and caring, a woman of faith, and she loves my son and my grandchildren. She calls me, and I know I can call her directly, but not everybody has a relationship like that, and you don't always know what it's going to be like until you get into it. However, understanding what your expectations are about your relationships and clarifying boundaries before marriage is critical. It is true you are marrying the family. Get to know in-laws and decide if you can work with the dynamic in their family and their family culture. Discussing your perspectives about health and wellness are also important to explore before marriage. Knowing your values and beliefs about health, nutrition, and exercise before marriage lets you know if you are compatible and a good match. If you love to exercise and you're committed to exercise 5 times a week, and hiking and outdoor activities give you energy, while your prospective spouse is not interested in exercising, but prefers watching television and doesn't get much exercise at all, are you a good fit? If you prefer a vegetarian, gluten-free diet and your spouse loves eating meat and potatoes or eating out, especially at fast food restaurants, will you be a good fit? Are there any health concerns such as diabetes, asthma, heart-related or mental health issues? You would want to know. The lifestyle you prefer to live may impact your prospective spouse's health. You will want to make sure you have good health insurance coverage for ongoing care and treatment, and that you are able to be sensitive and empathetic about your prospective spouse's health needs. You may have to learn how to support your spouse through an asthmatic episode, heavy cramping during her cycle, anxiety attacks, etc.
All right, we do have a caller.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's right, no problem. We do have a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 401-258. 401-258.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela from North Providence, Rhode Island. You know what? If
Walaikum assalam.
We, if, if all the brothers and sisters do exactly how you say, find out all of those things about a brother and a sister before they get married, I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, nobody would ever get married. Because some things, brothers and sisters, they're not going to tell everything. I don't care if you have a Wally or not, or whoever's stepping in for you or whatever. If all the brothers and all the sisters told everything about, even some things that they need to tell, that they don't tell, if they told some of those things, nobody would get married. I know they're important things to tell, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If they told some of the things about them, nobody would get married, because people might be too afraid to get married, or they might feel like they can't handle it, all kinds of issues. So a brother and a sister are not going to tell that Wally everything. I know that's not good, but it's the truth, because my brother-in-law is a Wally, and that's at Osceola in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he says the same thing, but then after the people get married, then all the truth comes out. I know that's a rough thing, but he says that's what really happens. They don't tell the truth. And also, another thing, what I don't understand, every religion, we always have faith in everything that was taught to us from the past, from this prophet, that prophet, even Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad's wives, his companions, all that. We take everything on faith. That we have faith. Our faith makes us believe that this sheikh or this person or whatever that was in taught in the Quran or the Bible is true. So everything everybody says, Prophet Muhammad did this, Jesus did Esau did this prophet did this, their wives did this, Aisha did this. Were we there? No. So we are taking all of these things that people tell us and things that we read in the Quran and book. We have faith. Faith it is the only thing that lets us believe these things, but we still don't know, because anybody could write anything, any sheikh could write anything and tell us, oh, the companions did this, oh, Prophet Muhammad did this, the Hadith can say, oh, Aisha did this, we still don't know. So the only thing we have to ask about, dear Allah, give us the guidance so we'll know whether it's true or not. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, they can ask around. Look, I was talking with Bina today, we were revisiting our courtship and engagement and marriage. And a lot of things that are in here, we didn't investigate and find out about. And so what I styled it as, that ours was an inshallah marriage. What I mean by that, you go into a situation and you don't try to find out any additional information, and what you're saying is inshallah. And then you find out things that a real simple investigation would have exposed had that information been known. You might not have said, I do. So now, this is just a framework, and you might not find out all the little details, but you might find out enough that will help you either make or not make that decision. And now, when being read about one spouse does this and the other spouse might not do this or whatever, and that might not be a breaking point. You understand? One spouse might say, "Well, I know." Thank you. That knowledge might not be a deal breaker. You know, one exercise, the other one doesn't. Well, to one that doesn't exercise, the spouse that does exercise might not be a deal breaker, and vice versa. But at least you know, she was just going down situations. I'm very seldom, I don't even remember going by a fast food restaurant. I mean, have you seen me go by a fast food restaurant since you've been there? You seen me go to McDonald's or Burger King?
I don't do that.
I don't do that in years. And I think we're supposed to be in a hungout at Burger King.
That's a suppose,
that might have
right.
been a deal.
Yeah.
I said suppose. That might have been a deal breaker for me. Might have been a deal breaker. But, at least it's good to have that knowledge before so you can make that decision. But right now, without that knowledge, I'm not trying to find out additional information, especially financially. I mean, I've seen so many times that people find out information about their spouse, and they didn't know that, and that might have been a deal breaker. So at least try to find out, and that'll move you off of the inshallah method. Right? My inshallah method worked, but not really, because I know Bina was a worker in the community. You know, we had similar goals and things of that nature, so it really wasn't that blatant where I just ignored everything and said, "Law's with this." And so we're trying to limit that, because there are too many marriages failing in the Muslim community. Too many. So inshallah don't work. Well, like an example the sister had in the book where sister married a brother and then found out he had two other wives after they got married. Right? And nobody that in the community was in mentioned that. Well, I might be extreme when I'm saying it, but after that knowledge be coming out, then the brother lied. That's the way I say all of that. He lied. Well, you know, I guess in his mind, he can have up to four wives. Yeah. And I remember Mayor Muhammad said it. It was an lecture. I happened to be privy to a conversation the man was having. He was talking about a brother that had more than one wife, and someone said, well, did he get permission of the first wife? And he said, well, it's not necessary to get. And some people believe that. I don't need to get permission of the first wife. Well, in our society, if you don't get permission of the first wife and you take on another wife, guess what? You're still going to have one wife. So anyway, and I'm going to turn it back up to you, Bina. But I just wanted to say that I appreciate the information that's being shared. And I don't think it might keep them from getting married because of that. And that's not the intended result. But I would think it would be better having this information than just ignoring the information and just say, close your eyes when you get married and say, inshallah.
Right. I agree. I think it's a framework. It's a framework. You know, and just like anything, you can't remember 100% and do 100% of what you see. But the things that you do, the things that do stick out to you, you'll be more inclined to do that. With the things that you see that are really important to you as far as this process and the questions that they're asking, you'll be more inclined to at least do that. If you can't do all of it, but, you know, because some of these things might not even be a deal breaker or it might not even matter that much to you. So really it's just providing a framework and in order to make that process, choose, in order to choose. because if not that, then what? I mean, it's good to have something to be able to use just as a, you know, as a guy, a template. You don't have to use the whole template, but you here's something that can help you on that journey, inshallah. And if that's what you want, and Allah will bless you to have anything that you want. You want a spouse, Allah will bless you with a spouse. Ashadu. I know. I have proof. I've done it. I know. I've witnessed Allah's mercy on that, Allah's blessing on that. So I know anything you want, you really want, Allah will bless you with. And Allah tells us that in the Quran as well. But I know it's past the 30-minute, the halfway mark, so we probably should stop for another PSA. What do you think, Brother Adam? Are you on mute?
I'm sorry. We shared it. I'm going to have Sister, where's she going? Okay, she just raised her hand again, but I agree to pray the PSA. And I want to remind everybody of the program that I think it comes on tomorrow, and here's the PSA for that.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. We're back again, and Sister, if you want to press 1, it'll get come back in the queue. But we do have another caller. We have two callers, so we're just going to the queue. One is area code 706-627.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. First, I'd like to apologize. I came in on the tail end of the program, but I think it's what I think it is. I was always wondering, I said, now, one, a lot we know from as I was growing up, we always taught that there's some things in the Quran that Allah has left for us to see if we will make that decision with our own free will that will please Him when He gives us certain scenarios. Like the one of where He tells us to one wife if you but knew, you know, paraphrasing that, and it was always made me think about the other part of it. If a married man or married woman, specifically a married man, already has a wife, and we are taught from as teenagers or whatever to learn how to lower our gaze, you know, to certain things so that we will not be attracted to that by the shaitan or by our own appetite fanned by the whispers of the shaitan. And I never could understand why a sister would let a brother who is already married, you know, look at her in a way that will give her or attract her attention, that he's observing her relationship way, and then for her to respond to that, not honoring the sister who he is already married to, you know, and the promises and things that he had said Bismillah to her in order for her to receive that gift from Allah. So again, those two things right there is enough to help us keep the situation of marriage sacred for those who are going on this journey for the first time, which is joined together to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and raise an environment that is pure for their children, etc. So I was just wondering why would everyone keep it going?
Muhammad, that's really not the focus of this program.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
It's about getting the for those that need to get married, to get married. So we haven't
yes,
gone
sir.
Into
there
steps,
you go.
So how to get a second wife, whatever. That was just
okay,
something
good.
Came up in the topic.
Oh,
I do
right,
appreciate
yeah.
you
yeah,
all in, bro.
It.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Right. Likewise.
All right, let's go back to phone lines. Area code 636-980. 636-980. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Ami calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. programming manager for American Muslim 360. I want to give a programming note. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. First off, Eid Mubarak to everyone.
Eid Mubarak, bro.
Yes, sir. I want to share with you that AM 360 will be hosting Share Your Eid Prayer on Wednesday, June the 28th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be coming from Jacksonville, Florida, and the khatib will be our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah. So we invite you to tell your friends, family, especially the sick and shut-in who can't get out to Eid prayer. And we thank you all in advance for your support. AM 360 will air Share Your Eid tomorrow on AM 360 at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Imam Adam Bea, and your wife, Ubina, for this wonderful broadcast that you're sharing with us this evening. Assalamu alaikum. Eid Mubarak.
Thank you very much, brother.
Good news. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. We got area code 314-833. I didn't mean to mess your phone number up, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Adam.
Sister Bina,
to your radio listeners.
Wa alaikum
assalam. And so you knew it was me already.
Yes, sir.
No, I know my telephone number, so alhamdulillah. You know, I've been in and out because I'm part of the Clara Muhammad trying to reopen our school here in St. Louis, so I've been back and forth. But I just want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And just want to commend both of you all. From what I've heard, you've been doing an outstanding job in terms of filling in for our sister Mania and everything. Mm-hmm. Now she knows she can take a little vacation every now and then, so it's good to have both of you all collaborating and doing an excellent job. Just want to commend. And, you know, I haven't been always in terms of the actual topic and all, but I do want to just say something in regards to the last brother. Thank Brother Kareem for giving that information in terms of the Eid. One of our outstanding imams, Imam Yahya Abdullah. but the brother before that, I wasn't going to say anything, but when you disseminate information, you got to make sure you know what you're talking about. Allah does not say that in the Quran is only one if you but only knew. Imam Muhammad is our leader and teacher. He says that those things that are put in parentheses in the Quran, that's not part of the Quranic Arabia. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So Allah
mm-hmm.
has given us guidance in regards. I know that's not the topic, but as oftentimes here, some believers saying that because they're diametrically opposed to what it is that Allah has permitted. But we have to be educated. The information, education is very, very important. But I think what you said, Imam Bayan, that you're trying to help get people married and get one relationship right first and foremost. And that's very, very
right.
important because, you know, the sacred institution of marriage is, and I call it a sacred institution. Why? Because Allah established it. He gives us to it in Surah Al-Furqan, the criteria, Surah 25, Ayat 54 of the Quran, where Allah says that he created the human being from water. And then he established the relationship of lineage and marriage. Both of those two are sacred institutions, the sacred institution of family life, and the sacred institution of marriage life, and then Allah concludes that ayat by saying that he has power or influence over all things. So the sacred institution of marriage is the medium that is used for establishing the family life, which is the first social unit in human society. And we need to really take it real serious, and this is where we've seen the decay in society today. because of the breakdown of the sacred institution of family and marriage life. And this is what Allah has established for us for our growth and development, but for human progress. It's a lot to be said in regards to that. But I just wanted to say that and just really to commend both of you all on doing an outstanding job in filling in for Sister Manera. So thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. And a pre-Eid Mubarak to those who will be going out for the Eid Salat and also Kutbah tomorrow in celebration. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, and Eid Mubarak.
Mm-hmm. Eid Mubarak.
That's right. It's sunset, so it's in. This is officially the Eid. So we got about 12 minutes left. Nina, you want to close out with anything?
Do we want to finish out the chapter, or did you want to make a comment or anything on anything I have read otherwise? Or like I said, because there's just a little bit left of the chapter, and you know, I think we might have enough time to finish that.
Go ahead.
Is that okay? Okay. Just a little bit more. So we're reading from Dr. Pianisa Nadir's book, Before the Nikah, Proven Principles to Help Single Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. From Chapter 7, the topic here is meat, music, medhabs, and prayers, and more. Our vision, our views on aspects of Islamic lifestyle have a lot to do with how we see ourselves in our practice of the religion. There are different views, some mainstream, some less so, aspects of Islamic tradition like halal or zabiha meat, or whether you listen to music or what kind should all be part of your premarital conversations. Whether or not you adhere to a particular madhab, school of thought, or adopt the idea that you don't need a specific one, should also be part of the Islamic life. Did you want to clarify madhab, Brother Allen?
Yes, school of thought is how it's usually translated. Which is in the book, it says school of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from, the Arabic word mahada means literally your point of view. So
okay. You
have schools of thought because people have applied the teaching of Islam based on where they're from and their environment and their culture. You know, so I say that because people have problems with, you say, man, Muhammad has a school of thought. And when they have problems with that, they say, in other words, we don't have a point of view other than what the established ulama has, and we didn't buy into that.
Okay. Thank you. So questions to consider. What is your perspective about eating halal meat? Is halal the same as zabiha, where God's name is pronounced and stamped? Will you eat zabiha at home only? Not so strict? Is regular grocery store meat fine? Have you committed to eating meat from the halal meat market only? These are aspects of the life of a Muslim that are important to discuss. We eat every day. You don't want conflict every single day. In addition to these areas, you may want to know how conscientious your prospective spouse is about praying the 5 daily prayers. Is praying Fajr important and on time before sunrise? Are you particular or not so particular about prayer? What does Ramadan mean to you? And what about attending and being involved in the mosque? What about friendships? Are your close friends practicing Muslims or not particularly religious of anything? Are you comfortable with both of you spending time with friends from the opposite gender? Do you expect your prospective spouse to give up all friendships? These are questions about areas of life and the lifestyle you want to live that should be explored before marriage. Doing so enables you to determine whether or not you and a prospective spouse are a good fit for each other and allows you to make an informed decision rather than being in the dark about what to expect. No need to force a relationship. Someone has the qualities or expectations that work for you, and you have what will work for the right person for you. Don't force it. There is so much to consider before marriage, yet most people marry without discussing these important areas of life. We go into marriage expecting that we will have the same perspective. We will just work it out, or the other person will change to meet our way of thinking because of being in love. Share your thoughts and beliefs. Listen and give it time. Whether you agree with each other or have differing points of view, you will enter the marriage knowing what you are getting into with formed consent. Alhamdulillah. That's the end of chapter 7. And it makes an excellent point, too, because they're you're uncomfortable when you have to ask when you go to someone's house, is this allowed? When you go into another Muslim's house, it's embarrassing, really, to have to ask. You know, it might hurt someone's feelings to ask, is this allowed?
Right. So I think what we can see from this chapter, in all of them really, there are a lot of things that come into consideration just in the idea of getting married and what that entails. And there's nothing wrong with being aware of these things, whether you can get all the answers or not. But these are variables that are going to come up once you marry. This is going to come up. And in our environment as Muslims, if you haven't had that discussion from your parents or anybody else, that could put you without having any awareness or consciousness to deal with up front. So, well, we got through, just about got through 2 hours of the program. All right. I think Bina hung up by mistake. So we've gone through just about 2 hours of the program. And if no one else has any comments or anything they want to ask or make, we get ready to close out. Oh, she's back.
Oh, I just accidentally hung up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought you abandoned me. I said, what?
No, I was doing something. It just, I don't know. My apologies.
No problem. So I'm trying to get ready to close out. I think we got about 4 minutes left, and we got to take care of business and play Brother Wali Ali's song, and that's about 3 minutes and some change. So that should cover it. So if you have anything you want to say, Bina, go ahead and say it. Now, maybe for next week, prepare people for next week.
Inshallah, I pray that Sister Munira and her husband have safe journeys and make it back again for next week. And I pray that we've done a service for her to help, you know, by filling in. And I feel honored that she asked us to take this very noble position while she was away. And I pray that we've, you know, helped to make it worth the 2 hours. And again, if I've said anything that wasn't correct, I pray that was for me, and I pray Allah forgive me, and that anything that was good that anyone can take from it, alhamdulillah, that that was from Allah.
Yeah. All right. With that being said, we're going to close out the show this evening. And Eid Mubarak, everyone. Pray you have a blessed Eid day tomorrow. And for those that know, I'll be back on the airways Thursday morning at 8 o'clock with Money Sense this Thursday morning. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Made him love enough to go out and face the world.